My dear brother Deacon Benji is unwell again today. May the Lord heal him. He has chosen the first hymn, which is number 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. Hymn 514.
Thank you. Let us turn to read in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 12, and we'll read as far as verse 37. Matthew, chapter 12, reading as far as verse 37. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And If I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. May God bless his word, and help us now to pray. Lord God Almighty, we gather in thy house this morning. We do pray that we may be helped to gather in thy holy fear, and that it may not be man that is seen, but Jesus only. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be sanctified in our midst, that we may come as those true worshippers of thee, and come unto the Father this day through thy name. And we do pray that thou wilt have the glory. Oh, may it be that thy name is lifted up, even that precious, exalted name of Jesus. Oh, we ask, Lord, here this day then, for thy gracious help. Send down thy Holy Spirit amongst us, and may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, whether we are found speaking or hearing, that we may, Lord, spend that hour at thy feet, as Mary of old, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word, that we may in so doing find rest for our souls, and that we may find food for our souls, that we may eat and drink the Lord Jesus, eat and drink his word, and that thy mouth may be most sweet, his mouth is most sweet, yea, his altogether lovely. Thy words are found that we do eat them, and they are to the joy and rejoicing of our soul, and that they are those words of eternal life. And Lord, that we may find thy word living in us, and living well within us, springing up. And we pray then, Lord, that this day there may be faith granted us in thy dear name. There may be that faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that thou wilt strengthen us and confirm us in the way. Strengthen the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, we pray. For thou knowest our need, Lord Jesus, And thou knowest the needy ones amongst us this day, the poor and the needy, those who, Lord, so depend upon thy grace and can do nothing without thee, those who know, Lord, that in themselves that they are lost and undone and ruined and helpless and weak. We pray that thou, Lord, grant them thy help from the sanctuary, and that thy word may be so used to build us up, and, Lord, that thou wilt then send thy dear people help from the sanctuary, that relief, that release. We pray that thou wilt remember each then in their spiritual needs. Lord, we pray that thou wilt not send any empty away, but as thou didst have compassion on the multitudes, so have compassion on us, we pray. We, Lord, do indeed acknowledge thy many mercies as we gather once more together. Thou art the same, that same Jesus. Thou art that same Jesus in thy everlasting mercy and love. And Lord, we thank thee that we are still found on praying ground in a day of grace, that there is yet a throne of grace to come unto, one who has been exalted there as a prince and a saviour. We give thanks to thee for thy goodness. We give thanks to thee that thou art a God ready to forgive. And Lord, oh, so much mercy have we received, and so much mercy do we need. Therefore, Lord, do hear us. Hear us, that we may this day receive that mercy, and know that mercy which endureth forever. We, Lord, do thank thee for the means of grace. Thank thee for thy house, thy word, thy gospel, thy people. And that we, O Lord, are enabled to meet in this way and sing thy praises. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that the gathering of the people may be unto thee. We ask that thou rule, Lord, in Zion, and we pray that thou wilt, O Lord, get the glory. What we desire, Lord, is to see thy kingdom come in the earth, and we desire it in our own country. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt scatter all the designs of Satan and sin, and exalt thy blessed kingdom in the hearts and lives of sinners. There may be many yet called by grace out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. Those who have never heard the gospel may be brought to so do. Those who enter into thy courts may be those whose ears are opened spiritually. And Lord, we do pray then that even in this assembly that thou wilt be pleased to pour out thy spirit. We ask, Lord, this day it may be so. We pray that there may be some good thing done this day in our hearts that might live on. And we pray, Lord, at the close of this day, there may be that which we're enabled to retain, and that thou wilt give us personally a portion for our souls. For this is what we need. Grant, Lord, that portion for 7 and also for 8. Oh, Lord, grant that there may be those handfuls of purpose. We ask that thou wilt be mindful of those in affliction at this time. And we, Lord, especially remember the dear deacon laid aside, and we pray for healing for him and much strength and grace in all his need and path at this time. And remember his dear one, Lord, in her affliction. Bless them, help them together, we pray. May they realise they are in thy hand and their times are in thy hand. And Lord, do remember, we pray, each in sorrow and grief and trouble at this time. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be their strength and their rock. So Lord, we look to thee for thy mercies. We remember, O Lord, thy people in various places, in affliction as well. Pray that thou be with them and grant that healing according to thy will. And yet, Lord, we know there is an appointed time unto man upon the earth, and greatest need is to be ready against that day when we are called from earth, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that whatever affliction let us send, they may be used of thee for our spiritual profit. Maybe those things which are used to so prepare us against that day, and that we may hear the voice of our beloved speaking through them. And Lord, we do then bear all thy people before thee. We remember thy people in other parts of the earth in great straits, persecution some, and others in places of war. We ask that thou be their help. And Lord, what strange days have we passed through of recent times, and we, Lord, hear thy chariot wheels coming, and we pray that thou have mercy upon us, that we may heed thy word, that we to watch, for you know not when your Lord doth come. And we, Lord, do pray that thou wilt make us to stand in this day, that we may be amongst that people who shall stand at the latter day. And that, Lord, that thou wilt enable us now to fight that good fight of faith. O Lord, and may we be found clothed in thy righteousness and washed in thy precious blood. Lord, remember us then, we pray thee, as we gather here. We ask that thou hast blessed those hymns given out. And we pray, Lord, that all that we attend to may be to thy glory. Do forgive all that thou seest amiss with us, even as we gather. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou draw near, speak to us. May we have thy presence amongst us here, we pray. As we ask for thy sake. Amen.
Hymn number 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. Hymn 136.
with the Lord's help, we would turn for our text to Psalm 40 and to verse 4. Psalm 40 and to verse 4, I will read the first four verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Must confess, in coming here, we had not thought to take this word this morning, but the word seems impressed upon us, and we must venture with it. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. The psalmist David, in this psalm, speaks from his own experience. He was waiting for God. He had waited for God. Patiently for God. And the Lord had inclined unto him, heard his cry, and delivered him, bringing him up out of that horrible pit. And he speaks concerning this truth of trusting, because this really was what his experience taught him. The blessedness of that man who makes the Lord his trust. You see, it is not an easy thing, is it, to trust in God? If we're in that way of life, we will know the fears, perhaps in that time of waiting. You see, my mind has gone to the psalmist and how he said, again, I believe in Psalm 28, "Be not silent unto me, O God." He said, "Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." You see, sometimes the Lord's silence is a great trial to the Lord's people. They're under affliction, and they're in great need. Yet the Lord has not spoken, the Lord has not answered, and the trial goes on. And not only that, but of course, as we have in this psalm, there may be many who make a great noise. Yes, our adversary, the devil himself, all his taunts and all his suggestions. "Aha," he says, "where is now thy God?" Maybe also the voices of unbelieving men. And these voices speaking into the ears of the Lord's people. How hard it is, you see, with the Lord's silence and on the one hand, and the taunts of the wicked on the other, for a man to hold on his way and trust in God. And so often, you see, it may be that we're like that ship in Psalm 107, tossed with tempest. You see, reeling to and fro, staggering like a drunken man, or at our wit's end. And tossed about. But you know, our text tells us this, dear friends, They that trust in him will not be ashamed. Blessed is that man, happy is that man that makes the Lord his trust. Now this is not the work of nature. And dear friends, we need God to so work in our hearts to cause us to trust in him. We need him to deliver us from an evil heart of unbelief. Help us to trust in his blessed name, who is faithful and true, and help us to trust in his word. The earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. And indeed, as the word before us tells us, to not turn aside. No, to such who are proud, not to trust in anything that is vain, but in God. To look right on and our eyelids straight before us. Oh, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord Jehovah his trust. And you see, here is our confidence. It was certainly the confidence of David. We often feel that affinity with David in his path. You see, he was very weak and he was very small. You look at him, especially that season he was pursued by Saul. Saul had the host of Israel on his side. He had the upper hand. David was weak and despised, he and his few that were with him. And you see, naturally speaking, the odds were against him. The world was against him. And yet he was given, especially in that season, that helped to trust in God, how he referred to his God as his rock. His rock and his fortress. And you see, he often made the Lord his refuge. How he fled to the Lord to hide him. Oh, we read of this, especially when there were those that were speaking against him. You see, and how he speaks of this, how the Lord hides in his pavilion from the strife of tongues. Oh, he has a secret hiding place for his beloved people. Yes, and the Lord's dear people, they know his name. They run to that strong tower and are safe. And how, yes, we read again in the Psalms concerning the Lord and hiding under his wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. See, God is as a mighty fortress to his beloved people. And they hide in that fortress. Yes, and if we've been to visit some of these very strong and powerful castles, we will know how very strong they are, the walls impregnable. Oh, God is a fortress, a mighty fortress. And you see there, the enemy cannot take us. There he cannot overcome us. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And as that word blessed means happy, so we consider the sweet confidence, the rest of faith in that man that makes the Lord his trust. You see, the world may rage. Satan may roar like a roaring lion. Yeah, that man that is trusting in God is happy. No man can take his peace away from him. He's confident in his God, trusting in God. And he knows that peace which passeth all understanding, keeping his heart and his mind through Christ Jesus. Oh, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, the rock of ages. And thou wilt keep him, you see, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Such a blessed thing, isn't it, when we're enabled to trust in God? You see, so often maybe we feel to be moved. We feel we shall be moved. Our feet have well nigh slipped. But oh, you see, trusting in him, we stand upon a rock. You see, the devil will do his best to sever you from Christ. But may he be your confidence. May he be your trust. And as we read in Psalm 46, you see, God is our refuge and strength, and how we shall not be moved. God shall help her. You see, the heathen raged. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Friends, you see, it may seem at times our feet have well nigh slipped. But the saints are in God's hand. And those that make him his trust, they'll not be ashamed. Now, this blessed truth, dear friends, we see in the Gospels how the Lord Jesus had care of all his disciples. He spoke in John 10 regarding himself as the shepherd, his people as the sheep. And what did he say? He said, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And we see this worked out, of course, in the case of dear Peter. He was one whose feet had well nigh slipped. But he had a Redeemer. Oh, he had a blessed Saviour. And what did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Dear friends, the dear disciple Peter, he didn't fall away. He was still found trusting in the merits and in the name of the Lord Jesus. God will not allow his dear people to fall away. So these are a happy people. Oh, that we may be amongst those that hold on our way. Job says the righteous shall hold on his way. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Of course, you look at the case of Job and you can see how tempted he was to turn away. Even his own wife said that he should curse God and die. He said, it's enough. She said, enough is enough. And your afflictions are so great. Curse God and die. Lie down in despair. Own indeed that he is not, or that he does not hear your prayer. Give way. Sin the sin of infidelity. Cast away your hope in God. Cast away your confidence in him. But Job was a blessed man. And he gave God the glory. The Lord gave the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Still my times are in his hand. Still, even through all these afflictions, I am in his hand. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And if you're tempted to that sin of infidelity, is the foolishness of your heart, my heart, the fool has said there is no God. And friends, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Down to day utter his speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. His works are in all the earth. And consider your own life and how he has brought you thus far. Through many dangers thus far you've come. If you really observed these things, you would understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May we be helped like Job then to trace God's hand in all our life. The way he has brought us thus far. Can he have brought you thus far to put you to shame? Yes. Can he really, dear friends, have taught you to trust in his name and then put you to shame? Friends, the Lord is faithful that promised. He is that one we read of in the Revelation, riding upon the white horse, whose name is faithful and true. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Dear friends, it may be that for a season you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, deep afflictions, heavy trials. And in this, you see, the Lord is silent. It's not his time to deliver you and bring you out of that pit. Yet blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust, because you will see it, you will realize it, that God will deliver you, even as the psalmist testified in this psalm at the beginning. And you will find a sweet hiding place in the midst of your trouble. Rest for your soul. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And of course, we consider this word trust in trusting him for the things of time, the things of our temporal path, trusting in God to provide, to guide us on safely, to order all our ways, and trusting in him against an ever-ending eternity, confiding in his merits, his precious blood, to save us from our sins. Blessed is that man, you see, that makes the Lord his trust. My dear friends, there is no other hiding place against that great day of eternity but in the Lord himself. Jehovah is our hiding place. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are our hiding place. That is the covenant of grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a blessed work of grace that brings a man to trust alone in God. It may be easy to say these things, but it's a mighty work that pulls a man away from his own pride and to trusting in himself and in his works and in his name and so forth. To trust alone in the merits of Jesus. Friends, this is a work that is against us and against nature. It's a work which pulls us down, and yet a work which exalts the blessed name of Jesus. That is the blessed work then of the Holy Ghost. He shall testify of me. And he is that spirit of faith. He works it in his dear people. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Friends, if you die in this way, the Lord your trust, you will not be ashamed. You'll be amongst that people that will stand. You'll be able to stand at that great day of judgment because your feet are standing upon a solid rock. My dear friends, you have a firm foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure. And the Lord knows his people. The Lord knows his elect. And what is the confidence? What is the foundation of God's people? Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay, that is lay, which is Jesus Christ. That is the confidence of God's people. We read that little parable, don't we, in the Gospels, of that man who built his house upon the sand, the floods and the waves, the winds beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Also the man who built his house upon a rock. When those floods came, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And dear friends, you see, that man who built his house upon a rock was that one who heard Christ's word, observed his word, and did according to his word. It's a man who builds his house upon a rock. Oh, our only hope then, our only trust is in the Lord, in his name, in his word. And of course, by the word there, of course, we understand the gospel. Our trust is in the gospel. Christ's sayings, the only way of life, the only way of redemption, is that our trust. You see, Satan is ever speaking against the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Ever seeking to sow lies and darkness in the minds of men, may we cleave to the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus. This is our only hope in time and eternity. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You see, the wicked in the scriptures are very often set before us as the proud. The proud who speak contemptuously against the righteous. And of course, they are they, friends, like we all are by nature, solemnly, who would exult ourselves against the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. This was, of course, the sin of Satan from the beginning. Indeed, the work of Satan. And how he would have gained a place in heaven above God himself and was cast out. My dear friends, the proud in heart are an abomination unto the Lord. But you see, spiritually so, these are they who do not make the Lord their trust. These are the strong. These are they who speak and act according to their own wisdom and their own understanding and their own knowledge, and who are not found at the feet of Jesus. You see, Hannah walked a path, didn't she, where she was trusting in the Lord. She had to wait a season, and it was a season of silence. She was barren. She had an adversary which provoked her very sore. But God did deliver her. He brought her up out of that place. And she was able to sing God's praises. She speaks regarding the proud. She says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." And she confesses the truth, "For by strength shall no man prevail." Yes, she had known, sadly, the path of being despised by the proud, they who talk so exceeding proudly and arrogantly against her in her weakness and distress. But God, a God of knowledge, had executed judgment for her. And you see, he'd pulled the mighty from their seats, exalted those of low degree. Mary confesses this, as we may read in the Gospel, similar things as Hannah. So the blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. It's a blessed thing, isn't it, to be waiting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And you see, the Lord will rise up in defence of his own people. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Yes, he says, he shall avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, will the Lord find faith on the earth? There is, you see, friends, in that an encouragement to wait on him. And to pray to him. Men are always to pray and not to faint. God does hear. So blessed is this man, and that respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And in this, of course, we consider perhaps when the Lord's people are in that time of waiting and the Lord has not appeared, there may be a temptation to turn away. Maybe a temptation indeed to fall in with the proud and those that turn aside to lies. Because it's the easy way. Going with the multitude. Those that seem to be able to live as they will. They seem to be able to live without trouble. It may be seem to attract you. Yes, to go with them. Asaph fell into this way. Read of his in his Psalm 73. He had an afflicted path, didn't he? He knew God's chastening hand in his way, because he was a dear child of God, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But you see, he saw the proud, he saw them fat and flourishing. They never seemed to be in trouble and play like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. And he considered his path and how it seemed it was vain for him to be there all the day long. Have I been plagued and chastened every morning? And the Lord had to bring him to his right mind and to realize those proud, they're soon cut off. God will bring down every high hill. God will pull down every high nest. And he saw the solemn end of those who live without God, who did not trust in God. And there you see he was so thankful to come to this: whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. Well then, the blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now in this words such as turn aside to lies, of course we may firstly consider really in the words of Jonah. Now, Jonah said that they that behold lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And perhaps Jonah there was particularly referring to false gods, lying vanities, sometimes mentioned in the prophets as being such vanities, the vanities of the Gentiles. Every false trust is a vanity. You see, as Jonah realized, he came into an hour of great peril. But he was a man who was found trusting in God. I know he was in a path of rebellion at that season, but still, you see, he was a man who was trusting in God. And the Lord appeared for him in his hour of great need. But he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. How will that do in your hour of trial? How will that do in your hour of need? You see, it's a vain thing. You see those prophets of Baal on the mount, how they called upon Baal from morning and till noon, and Baal did not hear. And then to the evening sacrifice. But dear friends, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Lies, then, many lies there are in the earth. Those things which may offer you peace and profit, but are not the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yes, the pleasures of sin for a season, these are all lies. And dear friends, if we seek to make anything or any man our trust other than God, our confidence, our happiness, it is a lie. And it will bite us like a serpent in the end. Oh, remember this, that Satan is the father of lies. He has been a liar from the beginning. Perhaps, dear friends, we do not pause to consider this as much as we ought. This is his whole work, Satan's whole work. He's a murderer from the beginning. And the way he works is by lies. No wonder does the Apostle Peter warn us, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Of course, Satan can sound so true at times. And if we've observed anything of his work, he is one who can present the truth as an angel of light. We even read in the epistles how his servants can be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, looking so respectable and right and good. And yet, you see, there's a lie. And he presents the truth in a false way. Satan has known the truth from the beginning. We read the devils believe and tremble. He studied mankind over the centuries. Dear friends, he does his utmost to turn man into the path of destruction. I say he's the father of lies. And his work is to speak against the blessed name, merits, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But may we be those who hold on our way to stand fast to the truth, as the truth is in Jesus, to make this our only trust. Dear friends, those in who turn aside to lies will be ashamed. Now David speaks this word, no doubt from his own experience, but by way of encouragement to those who would be followers of God as he. And you see, in David's experience, there were those lying tongues around him. Just one example comes to our mind, and that of Doeg, who saw David go in to see the priest Ahimelech, who gave him the sword of Goliath and some bread. And he went and told Saul that Ahimelech had inquired for David, as though he'd inquired to go to war against Saul. And this was a lying tongue and occasioned the death of Ahimelech and all the priests. And David spoke concerning him, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee for ever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living." Selah. Very solemn words. See, Doeg seemed to have the uppermost hand for a season, but God had the last word. God will have the last word. Every lying tongue will be put to silence. Let God be true to every man a liar. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. David was unable to do this, and especially at that season in his being pursued by Saul, and how he trusted in the promise of God, even in that anointing the Lord had given him, as he was anointed in the midst of his brethren to be king over Israel. God had appointed him to a throne, and he really was helped through all that time to trust in God. And how indeed there were those seasons where it seemed that he could have taken matters into his own hand, as when he found Saul asleep on two occasions. Yet you see, in trusting in God, he would leave the matter with him. It's being silent unto the Lord. Be silent unto the Lord. Yes, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That is what it is to trust in him. How he could say, you see, at that season when there was an opportunity to smite Saul, that the Lord would smite him, or his day would come, or he would descend into battle and perish. So it is the Lord that defends his people. Friends, it is the Lord, really, that is our King. Therefore we must let him fight our battles for us. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. It is to be then under his banner. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. So what a blessed thing it is to really trust in God. It's a blessed thing, because these are the people that are blessed, eternally blessed. Blessed in the covenant of grace, blessed in Christ Jesus. Blessed with true and living faith. Friends, these are those who are in the kingdom. See, what is faith, dear friends, unless it is tried? And it is the trial of faith that causes you to understand and realize, with a little hope, whether you are amongst this people, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And consider yourself spiritually, friends, as a sinner, and all the perhaps taunts of Satan, and your conscience against you. Do you still trust in him? Is Christ, is his name your only trust? Do you flee unto him to hide you, his precious blood and righteousness? Then blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Yes, and in a spiritual sense, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Dear friends, in your whole path you see, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and who respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies, who looks right on. This is the only way to endure hardness. It's the only way indeed to come honourably through, is to look right on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But I say, as the word describes, happy. Happy is this man. He may have many sorrows. He may say with David, though my house be not so with God, yet he has a blessed refuge. is a blessed confidence. David could say, yet as he may with me, an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. Oh, then, dear friends, to find the secret of David, that sweet trust concerning your soul's salvation, oh, that sweet trust in his dear name, for the present scene, trials and troubles. And be helped, you see, to rest in him and to know the experience of the psalmist, as we read in these first few verses of the psalm, how he waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach to us on Tuesday evening instead of Mr. Hadley, who is unable to come. And afterwards, the church members will be asked to stay behind for a few minutes. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottingham will preach at 10:30 and 6:30. Our closing hymn is number 406. Hark, how the blood-bought hosts above conspire to praise redeeming love in sweet harmonious strains. And while they strike the golden lyres, this glorious theme each bosom fires, that grace triumphant reigns. Hymn 406.
do pardon, we pray, all that has been amiss this morning hour. We do pray thy blessing upon thy own word. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.